We are so glad that you are all able to attend our program today, and we are delighted to interview Jackie Smith. Jackie will be talking about her incredible sister, Billy Sweeney. She was diagnosed with gastroparesis in 1996, and during her years with gastroparesis, she continued to shine brightly with her inspiration and heart. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is really an honor. Can you tell us a little bit about Billy before she was diagnosed with gastroparesis so people can get an idea of what her life was like before she was introduced to this illness?
Okay. Well, Billy is our young, there's three kids. There's Jamie, me and Billy, and our parents. We grew up in just a small town in Iowa, and Billy was very active in sports from day one. She's was a in basketball, track, softball, and volleyball. But her main deal was she was an outstanding basketball player. She would shoot every night, you know, go to practice, come home and shoot, wake up in the morning and shoot. She, our dad was a coach. So not her coach, but he was a coach in our school system. And my brother worked with her too. So it was her life. I mean, she had friends, she studied hard, she had good grades, but basketball was her activity. And so in high school, her team went to state, and later she got a scholarship to go to Waldorf to play basketball, and that's where she ended up getting sick towards the end of that. And then she was supposed to play basketball at Simpson College in Indianola, Iowa. But more than that, she was just a...
It's hard.
Just a good person. She had good friends. I mean, she had good girlfriends, but she had, you know, she was close with boys. They were her friends too. So she just had friends everywhere. She just had a positivity about her, and that's growing up. That's what I remember.
A very special, special person for sure.
Yes.
And then when she started getting sick, what were her symptoms and what propelled her to seek a diagnosis? And also, did she get diagnosed right away or did it take a while?
Okay. When she started getting sick, it was up in college at Waldorf. And she started she was nauseated and stuff, but she was throwing up, you know, like nonstop. And just that's what I remember the most. The week, she was tired, but she was just throwing up, like just seemed like every hour. And then when she came home, you know, my mom and dad, they tried. It took a year for her to get diagnosed. Her main doctor here knew that it was. He actually didn't really know what it was, but he knew that it was above and beyond anything he had been aware of or seen. So he kept sending her to specialist after specialist after specialist. And it was actually a chiropractor that told my mom that it was something digestive. And eventually, and honestly, it was 1 year from the time she started showing symptoms till she finally got a diagnosis, and it was by a Dr. Jolin in Iowa City. So it was just, it was endless. Every week, my mom was on the phone trying to get her to a different specialist, and it just went on and on. And it was a whole year before she got diagnosed with anything and got any answers.
Wow. And you have a very closely knit family, correct?
Our family's tight.
So when
our mom was
Oh, go ahead.
Our mom fought every hour to get Billy a diagnosis. So it was pretty tough year.
Yeah, see, that exemplifies, which sometimes is not brought to the forefront, but it really does exemplify the impact of diseases or disorders such as gastroparesis. When a loved one becomes ill, it doesn't only affect the patient, but it affects every person within the family. And especially when you have a closely knit family like yours, when you see that kind of suffering in your daughter or your sister or other family members as they're watching, there can be that feeling of helplessness and you just want her to get better. But as I tell everybody, the fact that you are supportive and there for her, that was huge. I'm sure that meant the world to her and that really helped her out. Now, once she was diagnosed, did her symptoms stabilize? Do you know what they told her as far as being able to adjust to life with gastroparesis?
Well, I remember one of the she tried several medicines. Some would work for a little while. Like maybe the nausea was gone for a little while, and maybe she was just throwing. I mean, she obviously I don't mean obviously, but at one point, the vomiting did stop some. It wasn't 24 hours. And so different medicines would help with one thing, but then they would only work, for a little while, or maybe one would work longer than the other one. She eventually would end up having, the lines or the feeding tubes sometimes, but then she'd go where she didn't need one. But what we were always told, actually my mom was told, and then it was conveyed to us, was that if they would have known, like in the first 6 months, they might have been able to have treated her differently, or a lot of what ifs. And I don't know if that's true, if it's not true. I would assume that if you're diagnosed before a year, there might have been some things that would have made things better for her, obviously. But things did, they just went in spurts. She ended up getting pregnant. Let me just move fast forward here. She ended up falling in love, getting married, and she had a son. And during that time, when she was pregnant, it seemed to kind of be like, I would say, like during that and a little after, like a remission. So it just kind of went back and forth during that time. And I'm sorry if I jumped ahead to the marriage, but I did.
No, that's fine. It's so hard to encapsulate somebody's life into a short program. So, and you want to make sure that the message is really conveyed. So, this is very informal. Don't worry about it.
Right. Okay. So if you want to go back, you can.
Well, I want to know when she was going through the year of different trying to get a diagnosis, was she being misdiagnosed, or was she?
Oh, that's a great question. Because I've read this so many times and it just drives me crazy. But my sister was told that she was crazy. It was in her head. She was anorexic. She was bulimic. Some doctors just, instead of saying they didn't know, they just basically told her they didn't believe her, I can't remember the exact thing, but the exact wording, but one of the doctors said, if I told you, it's all in your head. If you tell yourself this is what you have. And basically said, if I told you to jump off the bridge or jump off a building or something, you probably would, made comments like that. I mean, she was treated terrible by some doctors. And some doctors actually were honest and said, I don't know, which was respectable because at least they gave you that truth.
Yeah, definitely. I know so many patients with gastroparesis and other motility disorders have gone through that. So I'm sure there is a camaraderie of understanding as you say that. Not everybody, some people get diagnosed right away, but for those of us who had a long journey and suffered all of those misdiagnoses, it's so hard, not only on Billy, but on your family. Again, it
right.
all goes back to that. So eventually, now how long before she was diagnosed did she get married?
Well, Billy got sick in 95 and diagnosed in 96. And I knew, I can't even think what year. I don't even know what year she got married, to tell you the truth. Is that terrible?
No, I have problems.
I'm trying to figure it out in my head. Oh my gosh.
Well, was it a while or was it shortly after that? So in other words,
I feel like it was 2001. So I'm going to go with 2001.
Okay, so her husband, no, that's fine. Her husband knew that she was sick, correct?
He did. Her husband met her when she was sick. And during the time that they, you know, dated and before they got married, she had feeding tubes. She had a machine hooked to her to feed her. He helped her. She was in the hospital really bad at one point during that time. He was there. He never left her. And ended up marrying her. If that doesn't show you, there's some good people around.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because a lot of people would run away from that, knowing that that would be the life they'd have. But to have somebody to step up to the plate, that's true love. And I'm so glad that she had that in her life. So she
yes.
had a loving family and a loving husband, and that must have meant so much to her and really helped her as she journeyed through all of this. How did she adjust as she was? Well, let me put it this way. How did she adjust when she was going through all of those misdiagnoses? And then how did that change or empower her once she got that diagnosis?
Well, you know, I've never seen somebody like until Billy that is getting their strength, you know, just to go to a doctor's office and, you know, vomiting on the way to a doctor's office, carrying bag, you know, the vomit bags with you in and out of doctor's offices weekly, and coming home and just getting, you know, she just would be so upset, mad, like, my sister was very, she doesn't judge. She never judged. And for her to come home and she would still not say, you know, she'd be angry at the doctors, but she would just say, they just don't know. You know, it was kind of like, at first it was like, they just don't know. I'm going to another doctor, they'll know. Well, then it just got to nobody knew. Nobody even, you know. So then she would turn her and just, she would just get upset. But then, and I think I've told you this in our last talk, but she had, she just always knew they were going to find an answer. She didn't know when, but she had this unbelievable faith in God, you know, always. And I think it started at that point that she really started showing it, you know, like I would get mad and I would cry and like, why can't they find out what's wrong with you? And she always just said, they will. But I know, you know, deep down it just bugged her and it got to her. And there were some doctors where she would be cussing at them when she got home, but then there, she always just had this thought that they would figure out what was wrong with her, you know. And it got to the point where we wondered if they were going to find out, and they did. But during that time she was angry, she cried, she had to adjust to a whole new life. I mean, she's used to being out on a basketball court. And during that time, you know, we were lucky if she got out of bed on some days. She just, those days that she did get out of bed, she was usually going to a doctor's appointment and trying to figure it out. So it was hard for her to adjust. And once she got diagnosed, I mean, I think there was a relief that they found out what it was. But then when you know what it is, you go through that whole cycle of wanting to know more and then also not wanting to know more. I mean, the more I read about it, you know, at that time, I wasn't for sure I wanted to know what she had.
Yeah,
So.
I think not only did Billy, but the whole family went through a process of mourning the life of what used to be, which she was used to the life that she was now going through this new journey with this motility disorder. Did the gastroparesis stabilize? I mean, prior to her having her son, did it eventually stabilize?
Yes.
Because some patients find that it goes up, like it's really intense, it's exacerbated, and then they may find that they go through periods where it kind of ebbs and plateaus.
It does. It did, and it did that several times with her. There would, there was like a almost even a whole year, maybe it was even two. I'm not, exactly sure, but where it was like she was good. I mean, she was Billy again, the old Billy, and not on a feeding tube. I mean, there was months where she didn't have a feeding tube, and then all of a sudden we would, she would be getting one and or a line in. But then there was times where she didn't, and during her pregnancy, I don't think she ever had a feeding tube during that. Well, she had some feedings, I guess, during that, but like it just seemed pretty good, and after Jaden was born for a little bit, it was good. It just went in cycles, like you said, but there was a couple of them where they were pretty long cycles, and it was great.
When you had holidays, what were the holidays like with her being ill and being on tubal feeds?
Well, the last
I know it's still, it's not that long. It's still raw.
Well, the last holiday, the last Christmas we had, she thought, well, first of all, let me just say, some of the holidays were good. They were all good because she was here. But there was holidays where I know it took everything out of her to come down, because we would have Christmases and stuff at my mom's, which is about an hour, 45-minute drive for Billy and her family. And there was days where holidays, I knew that she, it was taking everything she could just to smile and to be there. But she didn't want anything to be about her. So she would come down and make the things that she always made. She'd come down to my mom's house, she'd bring this stuff, or my mom would have it there. And there were certain things that Billy would make during the holidays. For instance, the pickle roll-ups. And Billy would make sure she made them. She didn't want you to treat her any different, like by saying, she didn't have us eat. When she wasn't there, she wanted you to still eat. She wanted you to still do your thing. She did not want it about her. So the last holiday that we had with her, the Christmas, she was down there, and actually, I keep thinking it's Thanksgiving, but it was Christmas. She was down there, but then she didn't feel good, and she ended up leaving. But usually she stayed, and then if she had to cancel out on something, she felt terrible. I mean, we all understood, but the bottom line is she always tried to make it to everything she could, and it hurt her worse than anyone if she couldn't. But when we did have those holidays, it wasn't about her. And I think that's really special. When I look back on it, because we did have great holidays, and We lived it normally, like we would when she was 5 years old, because that's what she wanted. And when you're a close family like that, it just works. And I see every day on my GP pages that people do not have the support. And it literally, that's why I do what I do. Because I read every day someone saying that their family doesn't believe them, or their family won't take them to a doctor's appointment, or they don't visit them in the hospital. I mean, Billy was, we were lucky, but Billy was lucky too because she had this support system. And I know we're going to touch on that in a little while, but I just wish everyone had the support system that my sister did.
Yeah, it's amazing how many really don't have that. And as a person from a very tight-knit family as well, I understand that fully. And it just breaks my heart when people don't have that. For those who do have that, it is such a huge blessing. It really, really is. And you all managed to adjust. Like when Billy was having meals with you and she was on the tubal feeds, I know in my case, I remember looking in the eyes of my parents and the awkwardness and uncomfortable feeling that they had at the beginning, as well as the rest of my family members eating while I wasn't able to. And that was an adjustment. And finally, they just got used to it. Everybody in the family got used to it, even though it was still hard. And I
Right.
wondered if your family felt the same way when she could no longer enjoy the meal.
Yes, we did. In fact, we felt guilty. We felt guilty to eat. If you know, it's not funny, but I'm always on a diet. I mean, I've always been a little heavier. Billy's always been small. Billy's been athletic. I have no talent. So I'll eat a bag of chips. Not now, but like back then I'd eat a bag of chips and I wouldn't feel guilty about it, at all. And then, I mean, this happened with Billy and I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to eat in front of my sister. I felt terrible. And she knew that. I mean, because being close, I told her that. And she got mad at me one day. She said, "I have the illness. You don't. You need to eat. Eat for me." That's what she would always say. "Eat for me." I'm hungry, but I want that, but I can't eat it, or something. She'd always say, "Eat for me." So I would. And it was just a laughing, kind of thing with my sister. And at that point, she told me, "It upsets me more when you guys make a big deal about it. Just do it." And so we kind of all, it took some time because you all have a different way of doing it. But we did end up having dinners, and it just got to be where you didn't even think twice about it. Billy's here. We're gonna eat, and if she wants to try something, or one time she said, "I am eating," and it was her feeding tube, going through. So you just get used to it. But at first, you're right. I mean, I felt guilty. I felt guilty to eat. I know my mom and my dad. We were all nervous about it, and they all probably felt guilty, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I remember those days. But then it got to be where it was just another dinner and you just do what you do, and it just got to be normal again.
Yeah, that guilt is huge. Huge. I'm sure Billy must have felt some guilt being sick and seeing how it impacted the family, as well as the family having the guilt of doing things in front of her, like eating. And just it's a huge adjustment. But I think with all of the sufferers, especially when they have a tight-knit family, they rely so much on that trying to get some normalcy in their life, which in an abnormal life in a sense. And
Yes.
just going through routine, I think that helps everybody. It not only helped Billy, but I'm sure that helped all of you through time. And it does take time for that to happen.
Yes, it does.
Now, you have another sibling, is that correct?
Jamie, he's our oldest, he's the oldest of us. He's our brother.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about your brother and how this might have impacted him.
Okay. Well, just a second.
No, you're doing fine, and I know this is incredibly difficult for you, but I know in your heart you're so really set on carrying out her mission. So take your time. It's fine.
Well, Jamie and I are a lot alike, but we're real different. Like, obviously, I tear up a lot. Jamie's the tougher, he's been our protector, as I call him. He doesn't let his feelings show as much as I do. So he's kind of, I don't know, guarded is what I want to, if I want to say that, guarded. Billy and him, so Jamie now is a coach. Billy and him were 5 years apart, but Jamie pushed her, was always pushing us for different things, supporting us. And Jamie and her had an athletic relationship besides being siblings and all that goes with. Jamie worked with her when she's out there shooting baskets, and my dad's out there, Jamie and her are the ones playing pig, horse. He just always supported her in her athletics. And then when she got older, and he lived up by Waldorf, and he spent a lot of time with her on the weekends, her and her best friend, they had a close relationship as well. And then she helped. He ended up coaching at a school. He still does, but it's a different one now. And she would help him, and she'd motivate the team. She'd go into a couple practices here and there, go in the huddle during a game. His team fought for GP awareness. And Jamie and Billy just, they just had a good relationship, a great one actually. And when she passed away, he dealt with it differently. He keeps it in, and he puts it out there now. He does basketball camps. He does a little camp, Fundamentals Forever, which he uses Billy's inspiration and her story during those camps. But it's hard on him. He's a brother. He's the oldest. And he loses a sister. And he watched her. He watched just as much as we all watched what happened to her. And it frustrates him that there was nothing he could do. And it frustrated him when she passed away because he didn't want to believe it. And we were all there when she passed away, but you still don't want to believe it. So it's hard. I mean, a lot of guys just don't where everybody can see.
They don't verbalize how they're feeling.
Right.
They internalize it instead. Can you tell us? And I notice there's a little pattern here. You have Jaden, and then you have your name, Jackie. There's a lot of J's in your family, huh?
Yeah, I don't think it's meant to be that way, but my dad named me and Billy and Zach named Jaden, so I don't know. And Jamie, James is Jamie is James. My dad is Jim. He's a James. Zach is Zachary James, and there's Jaden James. And
Oh
now
my
we have
goodness.
little Peyton, who Zach remarried. We got a little James in there too. So
Oh
we like the J's. I
wow.
guess you're right. And my daughter's Jaylee, so we're really going.
Oh my goodness.
I guess you're right.
Can you tell us now a little bit more about Jaden, Billy's son?
Okay, yeah, Jaden is Zach and Billy's, and he just turned 18, April 3rd. So he's supposed to graduate this year. He will graduate, just not sure if there's going to be a ceremony. And he's a great kid. He's just a resilient kid. I honestly can't say enough about him. I think he's perfect. He's like his mom, and his dad, just, he's a basketball player. And a football player. He was the quarterback of his football team. Great kid all around. Great grades. I'm not positive at this point, but I think he's in the top five of his class. With the shutdown of everything, it's probably gonna be hard to tell, but he's just an overall great kid. He was Billy's pride and joy. And we just love him. I guess that's what I got to say about Jaden for now.
How old was he when Billy passed away?
Well, he's just starting his freshman year. And it was Billy passed away in June of 2016. So I would think that's about 14 years old.
And now, how did this all affect him as far as knowing that his mom was sick? So going through the illness, let's just talk about that part. How the illness impacted him, as Billy was such a strong role model, and it wasn't about her all the time. And that's a common theme, it seems, with Billy. It was all about others, not about herself. So how did Jaden deal with his mom being ill?
Well, I won't talk for him, but I'll just tell you what I observed. Honestly, Billy was, when I think about it, she was sick the whole time Jaden was, from the time he was born till the time she passed, she was sick. I mean, she had the illness. It doesn't mean that she was, she had, like, off and on, as we talked about. But Jaden had to adapt his whole life with different things. But some of it just became normal to him, where it wouldn't be normal to us. Like, some days she would go to his event. I mean, she would always go to his events. She either had to be in the hospital or absolutely couldn't go for her to miss anything of Jaden's. And that goes for Zach, and we'll touch base about him eventually, but she wouldn't miss his stuff. But it might mean that she has a feeding tube on her, or it might mean she comes in a wheelchair because her legs are weak. But she just didn't miss. And I know Jaden had to adapt to things. There was she her bed for a while there, her bedroom or her bed was the couch in the living room, so if he wanted to watch TV or go eat, he had to pass and see things that were going on. And there might be some home care nurses that came in. So he had to adapt a lot to different things, but some of it was just normal for him. It was normal to see his mom feeding or, I don't know. Or hear her in the bathroom, maybe getting sick. And it's unfortunate, but some of that was his normal lifestyle. But then there was days where she still made meals. She still made sure asking him if his homework was done and asking him about practice. So even on those days, she was still his mom, asking him things and conversing with him. And one lady after Billy passed talked about how she would drive by their house every day and see Billy outside, either bouncing the ball with Jaden or doing something with chalk or something. I don't remember what she said, but it was something on the pavement where she was writing stuff. So she still was his mom and did things like a mom would do, but he also had to adapt, a lot more to different things. And I don't even know all those things he had to adapt to, but he did, and it just became a way of life for Jaden, in my opinion. But he did it, he just did it.
I don't know where she found the energy to be raising a child when she was ill, because that's a real tough thing to do. Being a parent is the toughest job in the world, but being a parent who has a chronic illness.
Right. And I want to touch on that because she had help, you know, she had Zach. And you can't do it. I mean, you got to have help, especially raising a kid. But they made it work. You know, Zach is a teacher and a coach. Billy did not miss his game. I mean, it was, you know, Jaden obviously didn't play football for Zach until after Billy passed because Zach's a high school coach. So the season after Billy passed, he became his coach. But Billy did not miss a game, a football game. She beat it in the end zone. And even one day, oh man, I don't even remember what year it was. We were coming home from Mayo. Billy had appointments there. And she should not have been anywhere after that appointment. But Zach waited for her we pulled up and he was needed to be at the football field, but he waited just so he could see her before the game. And then lo and behold, she shows up, had to go to that game.
Oh my God.
You know, but she would be away from everyone. There was a little group that sat in the end zone and that's where she would be. So she found the strength. And she did the things, you know, and like I said, unless she absolutely couldn't, she would be there.
Wow. That's extraordinary because I know how much courage and strength and determination she must have had to push herself through to do that. It's just extraordinary. It really, really is extraordinary. Now, a lot of children, when they grow up with a chronic when they grow up with a parent with a chronic illness, it shapes their life. So sometimes it shapes it for the better, sometimes it doesn't. But it sounds to me like because that's the only thing he knew, and I'm sure he was very helpful to his mom, that helped mold him into the person he is today.
Yes, I believe that. I also believe that I believe that his mom, you know, and his mom and his dad, just by being the parents they were, and being honest with him and showing him, you know, the way things are done, instead of treating him, you know, like not telling him things or hiding things from him, I believe that they had a big impact on who he is as well. And I think I told you this the other day, but I'll repeat it. When Billy would be sick and, you know, had to go, you know, to a hospital or have to go to an appointment up at Mayo or Iowa City and, you know, hey, we don't know for sure, they might keep her, they might not, one of those kind of things. There were times where Zach wouldn't go. And I told you, I said, I remember thinking, you know, like, why isn't Jaden staying at grandma's or, you know, some, I don't know. I asked Billy that once. I said, do you need Zach? And, you know, things like that. And she'd say, you know, this is just one of those things you question. And she'd say, no, it's so important for, you know, Jaden to have some kind of normalcy when I'm gone. So if one parent's there, then it makes sense. You know, it's some kind of a routine, and then Jaden feels safer. And at the time, you know, like I told you, I was thinking, you know, I don't know. I was just thinking, I was worried. I was scared for my sister, and I didn't know she needed her husband. There was a couple times. I mean, easy times. When I look back now, they were easy times, you know, like just trying to find out a couple things. And it's so important. And my sister and Zach, you know, it's amazing to think that way, you know, because I think that's why Jaden is such a good kid and whatever, because they were always putting him first, you know, and how many parents even think that way, you know, they don't, how many parents think ahead the how something's going to affect your kid, just over a doctor's appointment. But Jaden did kind of have that normalcy routine, one parent there. And I think that's amazing to Zach, first of all, because I know he wanted to be at every single thing, every single appointment with my sister. And I also think it's amazing to Billy and him just for thinking that way. 'Cause, and maybe that part will help some of your listeners realize, how it, and I know some of them don't have family members or support people that can take them to those appointments, but it's just amazing that during those times, they were always not thinking of themselves, but thinking of their son.
Again, it's that giving of self, and that's that theme. It's not thinking about myself, but thinking about the child or thinking about other people. That's it says a lot about her and it says a lot about your family. So, gastroparesis, I suspect, progressed for her. And how did it become so critical that she ended up losing her battle?
Well, Billy decided to try, and I knew I was going to look it up, and of course I didn't, but Billy decided to try a procedure, where they put the machine in her and it regulates the pain. I cannot think of the name. I knew it started with an M, but anyway, so towards the last, she passed away in June, but like in the fall area of the year before, so in order to have this procedure, well, first of all, let me just say, gastroparesis, she was not a candidate for the stomach pacemaker thing because, her other organs had been damaged prior to the possibility of that. And so like they said that her other organs were too damaged to have that. And then she, the main thing that she was having a lot, like the main issue that my sister was having towards the last few years was pain. And so she decided she was going to try this, that procedure. And she actually ended up getting the device inserted, and but I think it just drained her. Like she had to go off of all medicine for so long before she could even have the procedure. And I don't know. I think it was just time to tell you the truth. I mean, I'd like to just, her body just didn't, it was, it just didn't accept, maybe all the changes. I don't know. It's hard for me to say, but she did try that. She had it, and I think March or April of that year, and then she was ready for the second part. And then, it just kind of was all a fog, to tell you the truth, the last few months of her life.
How old was she when she passed away?
40.
She was 40, so young, so young. But after she passed away, there was a fundraiser. Can you tell me about what precipitated this fundraiser? And it was a fundraiser to draw awareness of gastroparesis, and it was so gracious, really, and generous to donate the proceeds from that to AGMD. Can you tell us how that all came about and what the result was?
Yes, I'm going to tell you about the fundraiser, then I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the Winterset community if I can.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the fundraiser, every year, the schools in the Iowa can do the Hall of Pride annual scrimmage. Basically, it's a scrimmage between the basketball teams before the season really starts. It's just a scrimmage, but the kids wear their uniforms. They raise money for their specific, their pick. They choose a thing to raise money for, and This year, Winterset hosted theirs, and they picked gastroparesis awareness. First of all, Jaden's on the team. But the coach decided, Coach Henry decided to pick gastroparesis. So the kids sold shirts, they raised some money the day of the event. And they had a basketball game, and before the game, Zach and I both spoke about Billy, and then they raised the money. And it's great. The shirts were great, everything about it, and it was really nice to be able to talk about Billy and for the basketball team and coaches to and the school to allow that to happen.
That fundraiser, was that the first time that you were able to speak about Billy in public?
I feel like it is. I do a lot on social media, but I feel like that was the first time that I've spoke about her.
Do you have a social media, do you have a group or anything at all where you help others and you speak about gastroparesis?
We do. We have a gastroparesis page. It's called Gastroparesis Awareness, inspired by Billy Sweeney.
Okay, for all those, that's a good thing to know.
Yes, and we walk in some parades, and there's I want to just touch base on a few things about what we do because we walk in parades, but we also the Winterset Hospital is aware of us, and some of their staff will tell people about us when they've been diagnosed. I think there's been a few diagnosed in Winterset that have contacted us. I have a neighbor. I have two people in Murray that actually have gastroparesis. That's the town I live in. And so, slowly we get our word out, and then we also refer them to other pages that we belong to. But we do try to help anybody that contacts us. But what I wanted to talk to you about was Winterset, the community. They've been great in raising awareness with us. Although Billy grew up in Osceola, her real home, was Winterset. She lived there for several years, and she became a part of that community. And when they've done several things to help us keep her memory alive and raise awareness throughout the last, even before she passed. Billy had a couple walks up there. We walk in their annual big covered bridge parade, and they're just great. The school, the community, and the sports teams, there's a quarterback club, and they just have been great. They remember her by putting roses on a chair in the end zone before every football game. The football players run by it, they tap it. They put a plaque up on the bleacher or on a bench for her. They just do tremendous things. They have the green ribbon on their hats that they sell for the quarterback club. I mean, I really can't say enough. And Billy's doctor in Winterset was great. I know people always think doctors are bad sometimes lately in this whole mess, but her doctor researched gastroparesis. He knew what it was. If he didn't, he would go to a colleague and ask a question if he needed help with. He fought with insurance companies. I mean, he was amazing. And it's unfortunate, and that's ha another reason why we raise awareness, because people don't have those doctors. And the community has just been great. And another thing we were talking about, just our family, Billy had friends, good friends in Winterset that would take her to her appointments if an emergency happened, or maybe, hey, Jaden, Jaden has a game, but Zach has practice. Can I ride? Things like that, to make things happen. She had neighbors that were amazing that got her places. And the Sweeney family, we talk about us adjusting to things. They had to adjust to things too. If you know Zach's mom, she's like my mom. They love to cook. They have feasts, they had to adjust to things, but they were always there too. So, and Zach has a sister and a brother, and his sister was another, like a best friend to Billy. Billy called her sister. So not only us being close, but all of them were affected. And, they didn't turn on her, turn away. They helped. Erin Sweeney, I call her she always says, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. She does just as much as any of us. She just does it. She just does it. She thinks about Billy. She misses Billy. She's raising awareness. She does her own way of raising awareness. Any way is great. And I thank God every day. I thank God every day that Erin Sweeney was there for my sister. So there you go.
It sounds like not only a wonderful family on your side, but on the Sweeney side, and to have a community. And I want to move there. It sounds like such a wonderful community of
I would move there
support.
in a heartbeat.
But I think, too, the way you have talked about Billy, she brought the good out in people.
She did.
And that makes a difference too. When you have the heart as big as Billy did and the concern for others, people react to that and they want to be near people and really be a part of their lives. So Billy certainly has accomplished a lot. Do you mind if I just open it up to see if anybody has comments or questions and then we'll go from there? Okay.
That's fine.
Just take everybody off mute here. Anybody want to ask Jackie a question or have a comment or anything they'd like to say? I guess they're all quiet. I want you, Jackie, to just answer this question and maybe a couple more. You've talked about your faith and how important that was in your life. Can you expand a little bit more about that? Because I know a lot of people, when they go through such trials, they lose their faith.
Well, actually, it's my sister's faith that I just now started getting. I want to talk about her faith. You mean her faith? Because it's really her faith. She's inspired me to actually get some faith. But it's actually her faith. I don't know how to explain it. We all grew up in a church. always had to go. And I say had to because we really, kids didn't want to go to church at those times. But when it's like Billy found a faith, and she had a faith that it's pretty indescribable to tell you the truth. She just believed that there was a reason she was going through this. And I tell this story a lot, and I just told it to one of my good friends the other day because she lost her best friend. So maybe this will help, maybe it won't, but I'll tell you the story. Billy obviously had been sick. She told me this. I remember sitting in her house in the at the time we had been going to a church. My kids and I had been going to a church, and Billy had been on this prayer list for this church, for months. And this is way, I mean, this is probably 5 years before she passed away. And she was always on the prayer list, which is good. But another family had a daughter on the prayer list who was older than Billy, and she hadn't been sick for very long. Anyway, she ended up passing away. And I was up at Billy's house, and I was talking to, we were talking to her about, we were talking to each other about people dying and people not dying and that kind of thing. And Billy said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I just feel guilty." I'm like, she died, and she didn't deserve to die, and then you're here and you suffer. And I just feel like I don't even want to go to church anymore. I told her that. I said, "These people lost them, and then here you are, and you're suffering. Like, how is it fair?" And kind of just talking to her about it. And the thing that she said to me was, "My job isn't done." Hers, she came and did her job. She came, did what God wanted her to do, and he had to use her back there. And I'm not done yet. And it just stuck with me, but it didn't really stick with me until after she passed away. So if that helps anybody, I don't know. I mean, like, what is your job? And I know what my sister's job was. She grew our family together closer. She taught us so much. She brought a son into the world. She gave Zach the love of his life. And she got the love of her life. So I think it's amazing the faith that she had. I'm hoping, that we all get that faith at some point.
Beautifully stated, beautifully stated. Before we go, I just want to ask you, what would you like other people to know who are either a patient or has a family member with gastroparesis? Is there any words of wisdom that you'd like to share with them?
Well, I don't, I think if you're a patient, I just want to tell you that you're not alone. It always seems like you're alone. But please reach out to one of the sites. There's somebody that will listen. I will always listen. Find us on Facebook. I would also like to say that if you have people in your life that don't believe you or aren't helping you, cut them out. Pray for them, as my sister would say, but don't bring them into your life, or just zone them out some at least. And as people that are left behind, or actually, I don't want to say that, people that are watching people that are sick, be there for them. Don't doubt them. Take the picture. Take the picture of your sister and you in a feeding tube. Take all the pictures in the world, and be with them and support them. And for the people that have lost people, I just think they should talk about them. It helps us. But I think more than that, my sister, I just want to say a couple things, and I know this is running a little over, but I just want to say a couple things. We do this because my sis, like I've said before, my sister saw a picture once of a 7-year-old little boy fighting GP. And at that moment, she was doing decent. And she said, "When I get better," I mean, she was not doing decent, but she was still in it too, but not at her worst. She said, "When I get better, we're gonna raise awareness. Because, if I'm in this much pain sometimes, how's a little kid making it through?" So she was always gonna raise awareness. We didn't just start raising awareness, when Billy passed away. We've been raising awareness since we found out what it was. Now we raise awareness, but we do it not only for, the people, but we keep her memory alive by doing it as well. So it's not something our family came up with afterwards. It was her idea from day one to raise awareness. So if there's any way we can raise awareness in this area, or there's anything we can do, we are 100% ready and willing to do it.
And I'm sure she'll come down from heaven and truly, I think that she is smiling
And
and
Mary,
smiling with pride.
yes, and can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Because we kind of stopped on just when Billy passed away, but I think it's important to say that Zach ended up remarrying, and we have a new sister-in-law, and I have a niece and nephew now, another one, and they've been supportive as well. Zach and Carrie, they walk with us, they raise awareness and everything. So I think it's important for people to see that even though we mourn Billy, we have, more people on our in our way. And that's another sense of mourning, Carrie is just finding out about Billy and finding out about the illness. So it's just an awesome way. I feel like my sister is always working her magic.
She definitely is. And I think, honestly, we're so grateful that you are willing to share this story about such an incredible lady. I know in 2016, she sadly lost her battle with gastroparesis, but she certainly has left a legacy of passion and hope, love and kindness, and that continued inspiration where you are carrying that torch for her.
Yes.
In her name. God bless you. God bless
Thank you.
everybody. Thank you so much again. Please
Thank
take
you.
care. Bye
Thank
bye.
you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.